Praise God. He is good. Well, we've been talking about for a few weeks, had a series that we've entitled, Whatever Things Are True. I can't recap everything we've talked about. I encourage you to listen to those messages on the website. I have a few different things, like we prayed. I want to get out what we need to get out this morning. There's a lot here. Philippians 4:8, let's look at your sheet there. Philippians 4:8 says, Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The New Living Translation says, And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So this the New Living Translation says, Fix your thoughts on what is true. Whatever things are true, those are the things we're supposed to think about. Those are the things that we need to fix our thoughts on. And we talked about last week that really this is the litmus test that you should ask yourself on everything that comes through your mind. Is it true? Is it true? Because there is no sense in you thinking about it if it's a lie. You know what? The enemy will bring thoughts to your mind. What if this happens? You could spend the better part of a day worrying about if that thing happened. But is that something you need to spend your time on? Is it even a possibility or even something that as a child of God, you should, that is according to the Word, is it something that you should be fretting about, something that you should be worried about, something that you should be thinking about? Because if there's things that come through your head, things that come through your mind, if we just let any old thing come through, and we don't ask ourselves, is that thing true? Is that thing real? Does that thing line up with the Word of God? Then we can waste our precious time, part of our life, being fearful, being worked up, being angry, being anxious, getting sick over something because you're so in knots about it. And the fact is, it is a lie. It could be something that never would happen. And then you have to, aside from that, is it something that you should be concerned about as a child of God? But how we look at things, how we perceive and process information can be greatly affected by what's around us and our environment and what we let in to our minds, through our ears, through our eyes, other people that say stuff, you know, in the culture, on TV, on the internet, through many mechanisms. There are messages being formed, messages that come our way, and we have to be on guard about those things and ask ourselves and be checking up on ourselves and on our belief systems, really. Are these things, are they real? Are they true? Are they true based on God's Word, and are they truth? Anything that's in the Word of God is truth. Things that we hear hear from our next door neighbor, or read on somebody's blog, or read on in some news report, not all those things are true. I don't care what type of support people are giving. Like we've said before, so many times that stuff's malleable. You know what I mean by that? there are things that people would like to present as facts that are, in fact, they're not facts. They are an interpretation of certain information and what somebody holds as a way of doing things, but they're actually not truth. Hard, solid truth that's unchangeable. In other words, it will be true today, it will be true tomorrow, it was true 1,000 years ago, it will be true 1,000,000 years from now. Immutable, completely solid truth. Not something, well, this is the best we know. Okay, it may be the best man knows, but that doesn't mean it's true. Because the best man knew at the turn of, you know, the 1900s is a lot different than the best man knows now. My physics teacher in high school, he would tell us that, you know, around the beginning of the 1900s, they were actually encouraging people not to go into that field because they pretty much had it close to figured out. There were basically three things, and one in particular that was, it just didn't quite jive with everything, but we were pretty close, so don't go into that field. The problem was, one of those things was how light bends around certain gravitational fields and everything, and what they were seeing was that, you know, it didn't quite line up with the math and the models that they have. When we talk about, it was Newtonian physics, you know? Just if you shoot a rocket at so fast, at such a trajectory, you can plot out the trajectory. You know that given the air in a vacuum, without any air resistance, this thing's gonna go in a certain trajectory that you can plot it out. You know how much force it was hit with, how much that thing, the mass of it, you can just plot it out, how fast and where it's going to land. That's classical physics. The problem is, there were things that did not line up with that model. There were certain things that the red light was, and I can't remember the details now, he said, but, you know, the way the light shifted around planets and all this. And there was a few things that he just could not gel. Well, the whole thing of relativity and everything that now Einstein is famous for, and the equations he worked out, and, you know, the speed of light and relativity, the fact that that time actually slows down when you go fast, that's not science fiction, it's true. Has anybody ever studied or been around physics enough to know that is actually true? If you go fast, time slows down. For real. Even if you get in a plane and go around the Earth, they've lined them up that there's just a very tiny fraction that if they have atomic clocks, and one is on the ground and the other one went around the world going even at that fast, it's just so minutely off, but they're off. If you go, and you know, it's basically like if you get in a spaceship, you have a twin. So you have two people that are at the same age. Twins, and one gets in a spaceship, hypothetically, because you can't go this fast yet. And you go in a space trip, and then he comes back, because he's going very, very fast, he comes back. The person that went came back, he'll be, let's say it was a 10-year trip, he'll still be 10 years older. The guy that stayed on the Earth is now old age. That's real. That's not science fiction, that's true. Time slows down when you go fast. This was not considered at all. This was not known at all. This is where all that math that created the nuclear weapons, all the math that we know, that the advanced electronics and everything we know with quantum physics and electrons moving, all that was not known then, but people thought they pretty much had it figured out. But little did they know, it was the tip of the iceberg, and the answers to those questions that they did not know revealed the ignorance of how much we didn't know, and the reality that the models were flawed. They work when you're going slow, they don't work when you're going fast, and they don't reflect reality. But to the best of man's understanding, it reflected reality. It worked pretty good for the world they could observe. It's just that wasn't the truth. And even now, those models, to the best of our knowledge, we think they work pretty good. But the fact is, we don't. It's the same thing. We don't know what we don't know. So just because we know certain things and we say this is true, a lot of it's true to what we can understand now. But that doesn't mean it's truth. And a lot of that stuff you can back up with scientific evidence, and you can say we can reproduce these experiments and this thing looks right. But there are a lot of other things, like common wisdom, that so-called common wisdom, parables that people would say things as if it's undeniable. But they're not quoting Scripture. And is it really, we have to ask ourselves, is that true? People have philosophies for how they live out their life, how they spend their time. And there are many of these around the world. There are many religions around the world. There are many opinions of how humans should operate, how you should live your life, how you should spend your time, how you should eat, and what is good to eat now. When it wasn't good to eat 10 years ago, now it's great. Or the things that were great, no, not so much. We found out that's different. Okay, but you'll see these things go like this. Some days salt's good to eat, then it's not. Then it's good, now it's not. I mean, over the decades, it flip-flops. Been around enough. Which one is it? How are you going to know? Seriously. It just depends on when you're born. Some people grow up, they think, well, this is true because after all, it's a science. All of a sudden, it changed. The people that grew up there then think, well, of course it's true. But they don't know that 10 years before, it wasn't true. It wasn't right. It was common wisdom that you didn't do this. But is it right? You want to wait to find out if it's right? I mean, what is true? We start processing certain things, and it sounds good, and you can hear... You can hear informational talks about certain things, and well, this is it. This is what we found is right, as if nobody in the world has ever known this, and that now we understand this, and this is the way to do it. But you have to ask yourself, is that true? I mean, when you're young, you can go and say, okay, well, I want to know exactly the way to do whatever. I want to know the best way to exercise. I want to know the best way. Just show me the way and I'll do it. But as you live, you realize it's a lot of differing opinions about what that means. There is no one thing as far as humans go. And not everybody's the same either. What may work for one person, I'm not talking about mutable truth now. I'm talking about just, you know, with your body, maybe somebody says, this is the way you need to eat, but somebody else, it doesn't work for their system at all. So there isn't necessarily something that this silver bullet and golden way of doing everything, but some people will sell you that. I'm not even saying they're making any money off it, but it's just they'll present it as if this is true, period. You can't argue with it. But so many times, all it is philosophy or opinion. It's not truth. You with me? So when we're thinking, when we see something, we ought to ask ourselves, based on what the Bible says and the framework that you can create based on what the Word says. In other words, they're not everything... The Bible doesn't talk about every detail of the things we're going to face in life, but it does talk about different premises, different foundational truths that you can use to make a framework to say, wait a minute, it doesn't say anything specifically about this, you know, which car to buy, but it does talk about how I should be a steward of my finances or, you know, wisdom in certain areas so that can help me make a certain decision. Right? But we have to be aware. Let's look at your sheet. Some of this, I just want to go over these scriptures, some of these things that we read. John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. He's talking to religious leaders here. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. We know the devil is a deceiver and a liar. Revelation 12:9, we read these. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. It says he deceives the whole world. And we read this. Strong says that word deceives. It means to properly, to cause to roam, to cause to roam. From safety, from truth, from virtue, to go astray, to deceive, to err, to seduce, to wander, to be out of the way. That's what deceive means. That's what the enemy does. He deceives. He tries to get men to think on things that are out of the way, that are away from truth, that are away from safety, away from virtue. Get them to go astray. He tries to tempt men. This is what he's always done. Vine says to deceive. This means to deceive by leading into error or to seduce. Webster says deceive, one of the meanings is to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. I'm going to read that again. To cause to accept, deceive means to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. Means it's not real at all, it's not true, might sound good, but if you're deceived, you think it's true. In fact, you could even argue it's true. You argue with people that this is absolutely true and get mad. But is it true? It could be that the person's deceived. That means simply that they've bought something and accepted as true something that is not. I mentioned this, one of my teachers in Rhema, his definition was to cause to think on things that aren't true. That's deceive. If somebody is being deceived, something is causing them to think about things that aren't true. If the enemy can get people to think about things that aren't true, to meditate and to stay there and to occupy their time on things that aren't true, then he has them in a good place from his perspective. Because they're looking at falsehoods. They're buying falsehoods. They're raising their family based on false premises. Maybe sincerely, maybe believing that this is the right way, but in actuality, they're deceived. That means simply, didn't mean they're not sincere. Didn't mean they're even not good people. But they're deceived. You heard they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. They're wrong. If it contradicts God's word, I don't care how sincere somebody is, if you take the same path they are, you are going in their same deception. You will end up the same, but it doesn't matter. If they're as sincere and as nice and kind, if they bought a lie, and you buy that same lie, you'll have the same results. And that's a high price to pay, a high risk to take in different areas. 2 Corinthians 4:3 on your sheet, and we've gone through all these, so I'm going through them just somewhat in review. It says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded." Has blinded. So you can see, if you're blind, you're not looking as you ought to look. So even if people, if the gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So this we know for a fact. The devil is the god of this world, and he is a deceiver, and he is attempting to keep people blinded. According to the Word of God, that's what's going on. So we need to know that that's going on. We need to know that certain people are blinded. And anything that they say that contradicts the Word or godliness, we have to be aware. Not go out and fight everybody. You just have to be aware that not people can come up to you and believe they're trying to help you, and they're actually believing a lie. And if you try to be helped by them, then you fall and could go after the same path. Well, they're so nice. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Satan is crafty. You know, he's going to get some people flat out, just bold-faced, just go and, I am the devil, and if you serve me, all this stuff's going to... And, you know, people buy it. There are Satanists. Cut themselves, do very grotesque things to people. Sacrifices and animals. I mean, they do that. They're all in. That works. But not for many people. There's all kinds of subtle things where people have bought. Let's look at Ephesians 4:17 on your sheet. This I say, therefore I testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. That means people without God. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Notice, I mean, there's a lot here. You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. In the futility of their mind. They believe they're walking in something that's good, but it's futile. It means it's useless. It's going to amount to nothing. Having their understanding darkened. We say, you've heard me say, this is a dark world. It's darker than we realize. We're used to it. You know that? You know what I'm saying? You walk into a dark room. Let's say you get up in the middle of the night and you walk around. Your eyes get used to it even though it's dark. I mean, there's got to be some light or so you're not going to see anything. But, you know, light coming through the windows from the moon or whatever. And you can get around pretty well. But if you were to say, it's light in here, this is light, and somebody knew what you're talking about, they may look at you and be like, well, what's your reference? That's light? Boy, it's just blinding in here. And you know, and somebody that comes in, let me ask you a question. If you came in from the sunlight into a normal lit room, what does it look like? It looks dark. You come out from working in the yard and it's bright. You come in, it can be normally lit, and you're blinking because you can't see, right? But after a while, you can see. And that's a normally lit room. Now your eyes can get used to it as you bring down the lights that it's candlelit, you can see. That doesn't mean it's normal. That doesn't mean you're seeing as you ought to. And just because you can maneuver in the middle of the night doesn't mean that's the best way to get around. That's kind of like where we are now. I don't care that the sun's shining, the atmosphere in this world is dark. It's just that this is what we know. We don't realize how dark it is. We're used to this light. We're used to this light level. But wait till we're in heaven. And the light from the Christ is, there is no sun in heaven. Why? Because they don't need one. Jesus is there. How bright is that going to be? There's no curse. There's no devil. There's no taint. And then we're going to look back at this and go, oh my goodness, that was dark. I just didn't realize how, I can't even, you go in, you can't even see around the world, the earth, because it's so relatively dark. So when we're talking to other people, we have to understand that if other people have not looked at the Word is called life. The Word is called light. The light of the Word. That if people have not let the light of the Word penetrate their heart, they are seeing darkly. It says in verse 18, having their understanding darkened. If it's not based on the Word of God, it's darkness. Do you see it?
Yes.
And so it's no wonder that even if everybody, if there's people around you and they're all thinking this is a good idea, such and such, this is the way to go, but if they haven't let the light of the Word penetrate their heart, they don't understand that it's actually opposed to real truth. And you can have a whole group of people, millions of people going in a certain direction that doesn't make it right. That's exactly what he's talking about here. Having their understanding darkened. If the light of the Word has not enlightened their eyes, you could be looking going, you believe that? Really? Now, I'm not saying that in condescension. I'm not saying that to be rude. I'm not saying you should go tell somebody that or be arrogant. I'm saying that's why you can hear somebody's idea of what's true, and in your mind you're going, really, you accept that as true because there are 3, 4, 5, 6 scriptures that you know that contradicts and that can't be true. And it seems so obvious. Don't you understand that's gonna destroy you? No, this is the right thing. This is what we need to do. You can think, how? This is how. The devil is a deceiver. He has crafted lies and webs that sound good until it's put up against light, and then it just poof, it goes away, and you realize that's not true. That's why it's so important for us to hear the Word of God, for us to hear the truth, for us to hear the anointed Word of God going forth that can pierce through darkness and enlighten the eyes of our minds. That's why we believe God before we pray, before we start. Is so that we know that the light is going to shine, and we're believing God that what the darkness that's in different parts of our mind, that where we've been influenced by this dark world, will be shown up by the light and will be changed and understand how to go down a path for our life. We'll see that things, oh, that's something I picked up when I was growing up from people that didn't understand any better, but it contradicts the Word. Therefore, I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't care that everybody I ever knew thought it was right. That doesn't make it truth. Amen. God is helping us right now. These certain things, the way this is coming out, God is helping us to see this. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. You're separated from the life of God. How? Because the light has not pierced through the darkness to the light and the truth that will connect you with the life of God. The truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of God's Word, if you've rejected it, that if the light, you won't let the light go into your heart, you're separated, you're alienated from the life of God. So things that are so clear to a child of God, or ought to be, are not clear. They're muddy, they're dark, they're polluted. Keep doing the same things over and over and deal with the same issues. Why? Because there's darkness. Anywhere where we are dealing with something over and over and just can't see, God can help us to see what we need to do, what we need to change. He can, His Word and His Spirit can pierce through that darkness to bring us up. I don't know about you, but I've seen that in my own life. I'm so thankful to God. On the other hand, it makes you cringe sometimes. When you think of, I think of certain things 10 years ago, you know, 15, I realize what I know and what I'm walking in today in the light of the Word. I think, God, thank, I mean, I look at myself, I can't even relate to the way I thought. And you think all that had to change is my thinking. I was wrong in the way I was looking at stuff, and now I see, and it's so freeing. On the other hand, you look and go, that's gone. I mean, that's the way it is for everybody. If you could go back and know what you knew now, it'd be different, but you can't. And frankly, I wouldn't go back even 1 week. Because I'm enjoying where I'm going, and the understanding and the Word of God just keeps, you know, clearing things up. And so I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to where I wasn't married to Shell. I didn't have Brianna. I mean, yes, I was dealing with different things, but I don't even want to go back to that understanding. But it's so good seeing what God when the light of His Word keeps showing things up. And that's as we walk, if we'll let God minister to us and show us. That's why when we see the light, that's why we pray beforehand. That is, the light comes through and I see it, that I won't dismiss it. Because if you're in darkness in an area and the light shines through and now you see, but you shut it down and dismiss it, now you're deceiving yourself. Now you've taken truth and pushed it away and decided, I'm going to stay in this path. That's dangerous. Now you're self-deceived to where you're walking in a direction and you just shut down the thing that could bring you out. Amen? But God is so faithful. He'll bring it around again. Even if you've done it, even if you've shut it down, if you'll go back to Him and say, Lord, show me. Lord, help me. You may hear the same thing come back that you heard 2 years ago, but now it's time to act on it. Now it's time to say, I'm going to do it. I don't care. It hurts. Or people disagree with me. I don't care. It's the truth. Amen. It says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. What's ignorance? It's when you don't know. Now people can use that derogatory, like that guy's just ignorant. And what they mean is he doesn't know things he ought to know. But at its just base definition, it just means you don't know. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, everybody in here is ignorant of a whole lot. You could take a subject, you know, and you're unless you're an expert in that area, you're probably ignorant. You could take certain areas, you know, of business and law, and most people in here could say, I'm ignorant. You wouldn't maybe say it like that. What does that mean? I don't know about that. That's why I'm hiring a lawyer. Right? Well, I'm not going to diagnose that myself because I'm ignorant in that area. I don't know exactly what the certain things I should not do. That's why I'm going to a doctor. Or on and on, right? Well, that all it means is you don't know. Well, what does it say in here? There's ignorance in people. Which, what we were talking about before, just because man believes he's reached a pinnacle and understands something, I guarantee you there's still a whole lot of ignorance there. And if we based our life on something of a man's idea, it's not taking the whole counsel of the universe and life into account when they arrive at a certain conclusion. It's a subset. I'm talking about anything. I don't care if somebody's lived to be 120. That's only 120 years of some small subset of what is possible to be experienced in life. That does not make them the expert. God is the only true, knowledgeable one. Everybody else, we have a slice. We have a sliver. You came up one side and one path of the mountain, and the mountain is huge and it's very tall, and you came up here. You don't have the ability to talk about everything on every side and say, this is what you do in every situation. But thank God for the Word and thank God for the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to read this book and then I'll know how to live life. You know, just any book. Well, I'll know the conclusion on this matter. You know, when you're young, you may think that I'm going to read this book on this subject, I'm going to read this subject here and this, and then I'll be ready for life. Now, I'm not against books. You know, there's a lot of good books that are based on the Word, but like I said, you have to ultimately, you can get some knowledge there, but ultimately, each and every one of us is going to have to base our life and our decisions, if we're wise, on what the Word says and on what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. I can't tell you everything to do. No minister that you know, no psychologist, no teacher can tell you everything. You can have things and tools to help you make a decision that can get you on the right path. And ultimately, everyone is responsible for his or her life and the decisions we make before God. Amen. But the good news is he'll help us. The good news is he'll give us light. The thing is, I don't have to know everything about everything. And you don't either. What we have to know is, what do I need to know to navigate my circumstance on my path that God has put me on for my life? Right? I don't need to know everything. And I don't have to act like I know everything either, because, good night, if somebody thinks they know everything in this day and age, I mean, at some point in the past, the sum of human knowledge, people get to the point where they think they knew a lot about a lot of different areas. I think we know at this point that is so far beyond the capacity of any human being to know in depth about every subject, and it's growing so rapidly, exponentially, that is impossible. So what am I going to know? What am I going to focus on? What information do I need to have in order to equip me to walk and run my race? To walk out the pathway God has. I need to be led by the Spirit of God. I need to know and go before God as to whether the things that I'm taking as truth and that I'm letting determine my life, are they real? Are they true? Are they based on God's Word? Because I don't have time to do a trial run of every system and every piece of advice that I hear in my life. I don't have the time. You don't have the time. In other words, I can't take 5 years to see if this philosophy works, because I burned that 5 years, and I certainly can't, like, you can't apply several different things at the age of 25 to see which one of them works from age 25 to 30. You get one shot. Right? This 5 year chunk in your life right now. I don't want to say, well, I'm going to try this one and see where I am in 3 years. That 3 years is gone. Forever. So I don't want to be basing my decisions, basing my life on something that's fuzzy. Something that's based on somebody's opinion or somebody's philosophy and not on the Word. Because we know from what we've said so far, there is an enemy. The things that he does is go around sowing ideas and deceptions to keep men darkened. We know we're in a dark world. So as we navigate the world, how are we going to know what's dark, what's light, what's the real path, what is a sham, what will be discarded in 10 years, what will stand the test of time? We have to know and ask ourselves and filter things as to if it's true and if it's not. And be on guard, because we don't have the time. We don't have any time to waste. None of us do. We have none. If we think we do, we're deceived. But a whole lot of people do. They think they don't realize how precious time is. Amen. Right now, you're spending your time here. And the seconds are going by like this. We just said with announcements, it's February. And we just said it's New Year's. But look, as I'm talking, this is the seconds are going by. But you've decided you're going to spend your time here. Is this where you ought to be right now? Every one of us have to ask ourselves, is this a good use of my time? Because you don't get this back. And so much of the world is living in a fog. They're drunk. Some of them literally. Some of them high literally. But a whole lot of people are drunk. And they don't even know the reality that is they're ignorant, they're darkened, they're alienated from the life of God. They're in this stupor, thinking that this is all there is. And it's a lie. It's a lie to keep men from walking in the truth. It's a deception. Anyway, the enemy will just hold people going around a circle. Think, young people, that they have infinite time, that they're always going to be as strong as they are, that they can waste time, that they can kill time. That they can just go and try this and they'll just go have fun here and there will never be any consequences for it. That's deception. There absolutely will. Decisions we make today. Why do we make them? What's the basis? What's our foundation? Well, so-and-so said it and I like them. They're fun to listen to. But would I base my life on somebody's philosophy or opinion. It has to come back to the Word. We said this. It doesn't matter how flowery somebody says something and how much part of us may want to believe it's true. Do you realize there's things that we want to believe are true because there is darkness in us from our upbringing or from something we heard? So when truth hits or something comes up that reinforces that part that could be deception, that could be darkness, something in us wants to believe it. But that part of it is actually part of the problem. Our spirit, though, cannot be deceived. The Word will never change. That's why no matter who we listen to, no matter what information we have to come back to what does the Word say about it and what does the Spirit of God say about it, because that will cut through all the fog, all the darkness, and expose. The light shining on it will expose. Yes, and I've been in that boat. Wanting to believe certain things, but had scriptures that would keep pricking me. Have you ever been in that situation? You think, this sounds so good. I want this to be true. But every time you'd read this scripture, come back, you'd be like, but what do I do with that? What do I do with that? Yeah, but this seems so good. But why does it seem good? What is it? If you want to throw away scripture, what in you is wanting to ignore scripture? Why would we ever ignore Scripture? Because something in us is wanting us to go. But there's a whole number of people in the world that don't want to have anything to do with Scripture and don't care about it. That's the extreme. But there are different places in here where we could throw away Scripture. Ignore things because we don't want to hear the truth. The truth, it may rub us the wrong way. Again, we always have to ask ourselves, if something's rubbing me the wrong way and it's from the Word of God, why would I get mad about hearing the Word of God? I've been there. You've probably been there. Why would we get mad ever about hearing it? Why would it ever get us to be like, well, I don't like to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Because something in us likes this and is hurt and is comfortable with this other. And this Word, the truth, is showing that up. And then we have a choice. But if we'll just keep going down the one path and say, well, I don't care, that's exactly what we talked about earlier, where that light starts to come through. And if we start pushing it down, now we're deceiving ourselves. So if ever there's Word that would come forth and that would come to us, we ought to take it, we ought to believe it, we ought to ask God sincerely, God, show me the truth on this. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to just leave a wrap up here, but this was something I think we'd get to later, but I'm just going to close with it anyway. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Just look on your sheet there. This seems like there's just so much here, and just have to trust God that we got out what we needed to get out this morning. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." It says, be sober, be awake, be aware, be vigilant. Don't be ignorant. Don't realize that there are a lot of people that are asleep, quote unquote, in the world. This time that we live in, there are a lot of, you know, we may be close to the end of all things. We don't know, but there are a lot of things. But what we do know is that the enemy is doing exactly what it says here. And we have a warning here that says, be sober, be vigilant. That means be on your toes. Didn't say be afraid, but be aware. that your adversary, the devil, we read, he's the deceiver. He's the god of this world. He's the one that tries to create blindness, that he walks about like a roaring lion. And say he is one, but he will try to intimidate. He will try to deceive. He will try to devour anyone that will allow him to. Like we were talking about in communion, the word says that God will bless our bread and water and take sickness away from the midst of him, midst of you. If you don't know that, you can't push back. The enemy will come in. He will try to push. He will try to run over people. But if we're ignorant, we'll say there's nothing we can do. But if we know the word, if we're not deceived in that area, if we're not ignorant in that area, then we can push back and say, no, I know what you're trying to do, but you won't do it here. It's a lie. You actually have no power. You may be roaring, but you don't have any power. Now shut up and leave. But you can't do that if you don't know that truth. And it's like that in every other area. Right now, the world is telling us lies that they're repeating from their father. And I'm quoting Jesus earlier. We read at the beginning, he was telling religious leaders, you're of your father, the devil. And I'm not telling you to go around and tell people that. The truth is, though, that people, whether they know it or not, are parroting things. They're hearing and they're deceived. They're being pushed. The world itself is being moved in a direction. And the enemy is the adversary of God and all who call on the name of God. And he is putting things in place that would deceive men, that would keep men in a drunken stupor so that they won't know God, so that they won't experience God, so that they certainly won't win others to God, so they won't push back on his kingdom, on the adversary's kingdom. He wants to deceive men so they are powerless, so they are not, they aren't equipped to war against him. If he can keep somebody drunk and keep somebody distracted their whole life, he will. If he can keep somebody feeling that they have to put up with certain things and that they have no power over, let's say, sickness, over, let's say, financial things they have, they're just a victim, he'll keep them in that situation. But when the light of the Word comes, we have, it says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. When this darkness tries to push in, and you see the darkness, and you identify it for what it is, we can't let it continue in our life and in our family. At that point, we need to resist it and say, no, not here. With our children, they are being sold lies daily. And it's ramped up unbelievably fast. The kind of junk they're exposed to and the images they have dangled in front of them and tempted with, and the lies that says certain things will be satisfying when in fact they end in death. But that's what the enemy does. And if we're equipped and we're aware and we're sober and we're vigilant, we won't go down that path. We won't give in to certain things that are in the world and that will be in the world. Certain lies and certain things that try to get us by pressure to succumb in certain directions. We can stand up and say, no, not as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going this way. Amen. But the first step is being aware. The first step is knowing that this is going on and that this, it's not a surprise when certain things happen. And we just have to know that we can identify them by the Word, by the Spirit, with the Lord's help, with the Spirit of God's help, and He will bring us through. Amen.